The Doug Wright Show. Top newsmakers only Doug has access to. Answering questions only Doug can ask. On KSL News Radio.
Okay, the question we're going to talk about right now is what do we need to do to deal with the panhandling situation in our capital city? And it's not exclusive to Salt Lake City, by the way. I see it everywhere. And especially as we peel off the freeway off-ramps or we come out of parking lots. I mean, I can just tell you where the usual suspects are, and usually it's the same person day in, day out at these locations. I mean, if this one woman has staked out the entrance to the Salt Lake Temple for I don't know how long. We also have some of the usual suspects that I see around Gateway all the time. However, Gateway is just a spectacular magnet for, and especially those southern entrances, southern gateways into Gateway. But you always see somebody at the I-80 exit on 7th East, always, always, always going east. You always, always see somebody at 21st South and 13th East. You always, always see somebody going out of the Shopko. Now, there are many communities, and including the Utah State Legislature has addressed this, and many of the communities now, the rules are, is that you cannot give somebody money from the window of a vehicle if you are in a traffic lane. In other words, if you are getting off the freeway or if you are there parked, and if you want to give that person money, you have to pull into a parking lot or something like that. We thought we'd address this with the executive director of the Downtown Alliance, Jason Mathis, who is on the line with us, and he's joined us before on this very same issue. Jason, this is one of those things, you know, as the good book tells us, the poor will always be with us, but it looks like now we're just going to have to resign ourselves to the fact that the homeless are always going to be not the homeless. I need to be careful of that. I think we all fall into that. These are panhandlers, not necessarily homeless. Are they always going to be with us? Is there anything that we can do?
Yeah, Doug, I think you make some great points there, and that delineation between homeless people and panhandlers is a really important one for people to understand. Just because somebody claims that they're homeless and holds up a cardboard sign, it doesn't necessarily mean that there are. Certainly there's a little bit of overlap. Some homeless people panhandle and some panhandlers are homeless, but they're really two distinct groups for the most part. And most panhandlers are panhandling because they need money to buy things that are not already provided in our community. So we have rapid rehousing. We get people back into housing quickly. We've done a good job of providing food and other basic necessities. But often when people are panhandling, they're doing it to pay for drugs or alcohol, which obviously we don't provide to people on a complimentary basis. So often when you give money to a panhandler, it's important for people to know what you're most likely doing is enabling self-destructive behavior that may have led this individual to be in the situation they're in the first place. And really the answer for us, you know, we have some constitutional boundaries about passive panhandling, and there's a distinction between passive and aggressive panhandling that's important for people to understand. Passive panhandling will probably always be with us. Aggressive panhandling is not protected free speech. Somebody, you know, chasing you or grabbing you or standing in your way or you know, yelling out to you, that's not protected free speech. But passive panhandling is. But really the answer to all panhandling is just not to give panhandlers money, to realize that your resources are better spent, that if you want to do the charitable thing, the Christ-like thing, there are answers for that. And that's to give money to a homeless service provider where there are strategies in place to actually help people and move them into a better place in their lives.
You know, we've all been in that situation, Jason, where it's uncomfortable. You can see that person scoping you out. Mm-hmm. You know, you're maybe 50 yards away, and you can see them start maneuvering into position. You see them start to approach you, and you just know.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you're with your kids or whatever it is. And, you know, I always just wish them good evening or whatever it is. And, you know, and they'll ask for money. I go, no, thank you. And just move on. And usually that's all it is. That's uncomfortable enough. But boy, sometimes you get those that are really, you know, they go, really, man, you can't help me. You know, I'm a vet or whatever. And then you get those that really, I mean, I call them the ravers. And I've seen a lot of ravers lately, unfortunately, especially down around the southern part of Gateway.
Yeah.
Where they'll start just raving at you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real challenge. So much of it is driven by substance abuse problems or mental health issues. Again, if someone is really making you uncomfortable, that is not legal already. That's not protected free speech. You can file a complaint with the police department and describe the situation, and they will go out and actually try to find the person and cite them. It's hard to give, you know, a panhandler a ticket because they usually just ignore the tickets. And so the police have some limited ability to really affect this, even if the behavior is illegal. You know, short of locking people up, there's not a lot that really seems to affect this population. The police have recently begun this, I think, pretty innovative approach where they will actually go up and aggressively address panhandling, whether it's passive or people are, you know, the ravers are kind of getting in your face. The police department is going out 3 or 4 days a week and looking for the panhandlers and going up and saying, hey, what's your story? What's led you to be in this situation? How can we help? Can we take you in a squad car right now and get you some lunch? Do you need housing? Where can we direct you? And it's a kind of unusual approach for the police department to be acting as social workers. But when I talk to some downtown businesses, they've said it really does seem to be making a difference, that having the police aggressively and, you know, really focused on this issue and actually addressing these panhandlers immediately and in their face has actually helped to decrease the number of panhandlers who are out there.
Well, I hope so, because you're quoted in the article as saying that 20% of Utahns say they avoid downtown because of the aggressive panhandling. Now, I don't live in downtown Salt Lake City, but I spend the majority of my waking hours in downtown Salt Lake City. And gosh, Jason, there are days I am so sick and tired of it. I feel like I'm running a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Just to walk over, you know, to Gateway, just to walk into downtown Salt Lake, just to go to a movie in the evening. And I almost find myself steeling myself for it, you know, just kind of bracing myself for it.
Sure, and I should clarify, that was of people who said that they avoided downtown for some reason, which was like 7% of the population. 20% of those people listed panhandling as the main reason. So it wasn't 20% of the whole population. It's a much smaller number than that. But even so, that's still concerning for us, that people are avoiding their capital city because of this reason. You know, we always tell people it's that impulse that you have to give is the right impulse. That impulse to want to be charitable and help people is the right thing to do. And we have great homeless service providers in our community that are religious-based or secular-based. If you want to get involved with them, you can give them money, you can give them clothes, you can donate food. There's any number of things that you can do to help make a difference for people who are struggling in our community. Giving money to a panhandler is the least effective thing that you can do to help affect someone's life. No one ever panhandled their way out of homelessness. No one was ever able to raise enough money by panhandling to buy a house or get out of their situation. But people change their lives every day. They get off drugs. They stop the substance abuse. They get on mental health treatment. They get jobs. But they don't do it through panhandling. There are great effective systems out there, and there's a great way to help. And that's what people should do if people want to make a difference.
Well, absolutely. And there are so many wonderful organizations. You know, there's the Road Home, St. Vincent de Paul, the Pamela Atkinson Center. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The places that if you feel the impulse to give, if you feel, and I hope you do, but just don't waste that money on the panhandler, and as you put it, and you're absolutely right, and facilitate drug abuse, facilitate alcoholism, facilitate that money going for dubious purpose. Give it to somewhere where they will make that dollar scream. They will make it do it the most good, and they'll make sure that it does have the potential, at least, of changing a life rather than ruining a life.
Absolutely. And it's even worse than just wasting it. You're actually contributing to a more violent society. You're contributing to drugs coming into our community. You're contributing to creating a financial incentive for people to create meth and build meth labs in our community. Giving money to a panhandler is the least effective way to help. Now, there have been some circumstances, especially with younger people. You know, you see somebody who's in their late teens, early 20s, who seems really desperate or really hungry. And if you want to buy them a sandwich or something, at least you know, maybe they don't actually need it, but at least you know they're not going to go spend that money on drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that before.
That's totally, if you really feel like this person really needs help or is hungry, that's great. Go buy him a sandwich, but don't give him cash, whatever you do.
Yeah. I did that once with a guy. I took him into, it was, you know, a Burger King, and I bought him a burger, and he seemed surprised, first of all, and a little awkward. He didn't quite know what to do, and then he just started eating the sandwich. Ethan Miller did the same thing, the guy, and he said, well, if you're really hungry, took him into the Maverick over here. And the guy came out, threw it all in the trash can, and started screaming at Ethan, you know, that he needed to give him money. So, boy, you get one response or the other.
Yeah, we really encourage people mostly to be polite. Recognize this is a human being, a child of God that you're talking to. They're, you know, but to be polite, but not to engage with them because frequently there is mental illness associated with it, or they might be high on a drug that might make them, you know, a little psychotic or a little violent. Best thing to do is just be polite and just say, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you, and move on. And that's really the best alternative.
Yeah, and make a mental note at that point to donate a little bit of money to the road home or whatever.
That concerns me. Sometimes people give them a couple bucks and think, oh, I'm a charitable person, I've done my part. And really, you haven't. Really,
no.
You just helped contribute. And if you want to make a difference, there's lots of ways to do it.
Absolutely. Jason, thank you so much for joining us.